Thank you very much for coming and being here with us. It is a joy, something to look forward to throughout the week of being able to be with God's people once again. And that often in my prayers, I'm thanking the Lord for the people I've got to spend time with. And last evening, I got to spend time with our life group, and what a joy that was. And I went before the Lord and said, "Thank you, God, that I got to spend an evening with those individuals." And what a joy that was, just to be able to fellowship together and talk around God's word and blessing. So if you're not part of a life group, then please meet with Simon and get involved. It is a time of sweet fellowship being together. Just a couple announcements that we forgot. The deadline for the survey is the 31st of January. And so you have a few more days. If you've not filled out that survey, please do that. It will be a help to the ministry to direct it and to see it improve even in the months ahead. As well, I had somebody come to me this morning to be baptized, desiring to be baptized. And so if God is laying that upon your heart, would you please communicate with me through any means that you enjoy using? And so I do answer texts, emails, and sorry, I'm not on TikTok or I'm not on some of those other means. I haven't quite got that far. Now that I'm over 60, I just do not understand that form of communication. But I'm not a scary person to talk to either. And so if God's laying upon your heart to be baptized, please come and talk to me or communicate to me some means. In the next few weeks, we're not sure exactly when yet, we will have a baptism together. And so trust that's an encouragement in that area. Please be praying for Pastor Gary and Pat. They're on holidays, suffering in their holidays location. And I'll just leave it at that. You can ask them exactly where they went and how they suffered and stuff like that. I was thinking, God, would you just send snow their way? But figured God wouldn't answer that prayer because there was a lot of vindictiveness in that. Maybe judgmental or whatever, and I have been accused of being that in the past. And even though, if you've been following the news, Pensacola, Florida did get about 8 inches plus of snow this last week, and I'm sure they were blessed to experience what we get to experience all winter long. And so, but I'll just leave it at that. I wanted to share take some time and share this thought with you this morning about stewarding our time. And we've been talking and going through some different stewardships that God has entrusted to us. And that things that God would desire of us to put as a practice in our lives, as a discipline in our lives. Now, when we come to this whole area of time, then we're touching on a sensitive issue. Because most of us would say, wow, where am I going to find time from? And so just bear with me as I walk through this. And maybe by the end you'll say, okay, I can entrust the Lord for this as well. And so if we were to ask people the things that they value, I'm sure that we would hear many answers. We value family, we value spouses, we value jobs, we value our retirement funds. And maybe your retirement fund is looking pretty good, and so you're already at that stage of thinking about retirement. We may even list our vacation opportunities. The time of year we would hear many mentioning their opportunity to find somewhere warm to spend a few days or a few weeks as God has blessed us with. The age of the individual will have bearing on the things that they value as well. And so the younger may mention the value of being able to beat their siblings in a competition in sport or in gaming. And so we all have things that we value, even from the youngest years, and just watch as kids fight over different toys or whatever. They value different things. But yes, they have values as well. We will all attach value to different items, meaning that they have come to be an important value in our lives, an important part of our lives, because of the time or the finances that we have put towards it. And so we look at the items that we have, and we put some value into some different items because of the money we've spent, the time that we have spent on those different items. One of the values that may have escaped our attention is the value of time. Each day is filled with 24 hours or 1,440 minutes or 86,000 seconds. And we look and reflect upon that and say, wow, that is a significant amount of time until all of a sudden you start living it and find out that it's gone pretty quickly. Someone has written this following poem. And when as a child I laughed and wept, time crept. When as a youth I dreamed and talked, time walked. When I became a full-grown man, time ran. When older still I daily grew, time flew. Soon I shall find in traveling on, time gone. And so usually as we gain in age, we see that time seemingly moves faster than we ever thought it was possible. And while most of us don't understand, how did I get to the age that I am at? And seemingly it was just yesterday when all of a sudden I was a youth. We remember the days when we used to use fractions to determine our age. I was 4 and a half, or I'm 6 and a half. But as we get older, we start using whole numbers. I'm 18, I'm 24, or I'm 26. And then we get to my age, and we just mention decades. And I am in my 60s, or I am in my 70s. And if we have to know the exact date, then we have to check our license, or we have to check our birth certificate. And often we're wrong when we finally find out, no, I'm really a year older than what I thought I was. And so we all look at time, and as we go through life, we look at time differently. Time is a strange commodity. We can't save it. We can't retrieve it. We can't stretch it. And we can't borrow it, loan it, stop it, or store it. We can only use it or lose it. And so the importance of time in our lives that God has given to us. And God has given to us a season to steward this thing called time. Thus, the importance of making sure that we steward our time. The Word of God speaks much about making the most of the time that we are given. And so you can look into Ecclesiastes 9, verse 10. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. Or you can turn to Philippians 3, 13 and 14. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And there we see Paul seemingly stretching forward in life to make the most and to be able to finish well. Colossians 4, verse 5 says, walk in wisdom towards outsiders, making the best use of your time. And so the importance, and these are just mentioning a few of the verses that we find throughout Scripture, of the importance of the time that God has given to us and to make sure that we value the commodity that God has blessed us with. And so now we come to our passage this morning. I want to read to you out of Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 and 16. So if you have your Bibles this morning, let me read to you from Ephesians chapter 5, beginning at verse 15. Therefore, meaning in conclusion, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time. Why? Because the days are evil. The King James Version, you might be familiar with, says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. And the word has the buying out of the marketplace. That word redeeming means to buy up opportunities. The picture is of a merchant who diligently seeks to buy up the best bargains in the marketplace, taking care not to miss the best opportunity that might come his way. When God redeemed us, he purchased us through his blood of his son from the marketplace of sin, and he placed us into the kingdom of his dear son. It is in the present tense, meaning that we are to be continually redeeming the time. The word that Paul uses for time is not the word chronos, which speaks of clock time, but the word kairos, which can be translated as opportunities or to make good use of opportunities. And so Paul here is seeking to turn in his conversation to the Ephesians to say, make sure that you take up the opportunities, that make sure that you look for opportunities and that you buy up opportunities and let that be a continual practice of your life. We are to go into the marketplace and buy up opportunities. There is a day of opportunity that you dare not let pass by. Our opportunities are limited by time. God is the creator of time, and God's great gift to you is first the giving of his son to redeem us, and secondly is that of time. And so each of us have been blessed with a certain amount of time. We're not sure exactly how long that will be. But in the meantime, you here being this morning, God, one of the things that God has blessed you with that we need to be thankful for is that God has blessed us with a season of time. God has given you time to work, time to serve, time to love, time to laugh, and time to labor as well. And oh, to have less of one and maybe some more of the other on occasion. Time is something that God gave you today. It is not something you own. God is the creator, the possessor of time. And so therefore, I am a steward of the time that God has given to me. And one day we will give an account to God for the time that he has given to us. And so there's coming a day when we stand with him in glory, that we will give an account of the season of time that God has given to each one of us. Someone has said, I have only just a minute, only 60 seconds in it. Forced upon me, can't refuse it, didn't seek it, didn't choose it, but it is up to me just how I use it. I must suffer if I lose it, give account if I abuse it, just a tiny little minute, but eternity is in it. And too often we fail to start looking at the minutes that God has blessed us with. The difference between people is not that some people have more time than other people. The difference in people is how people use the time that God has given to them. And time is a present opportunity. Psalm 118, verses 24 says, this is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. There are 2 days that can steal the joy and the productivity from today. One is yesterday and the other is tomorrow. But here David in the book of Psalms says, this is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Let's be glad in the day that God has given to us. A survey asked, what do you have to live for? To which 94% have answered that they were just enduring today and living for tomorrow. In a survey, that was the response. They didn't enjoy what they were experiencing today, but yet they're hoping that tomorrow would be something better. Adrian Rogers has said, we face the future out of breath because we have been fighting tomorrow's battles today. For Paul to make the present opportunities count, there were some realities that he had to remember to keep placed in the right position. And so as Paul seeks to communicate with the people here, there are some realities that he needed to address in his own life. If he was going to be obedient to the opportunities that God placed them in front of him each day, then the reality was that he had to forget the past guilt. The stoning of Stephen, he was present and condoned the action of those who were throwing the stones. There was also 1 Timothy 1 verse 15, Paul makes reference to the fact that he is the foremost of sinners. Or you can read Acts 22, Acts 26, and you will also see there Paul reiterating some of the things that he had been involved in his earlier days. And if Paul would continue to dwell upon those things in his life, then he would be defeated in the present opportunities that God desired him to take up. Many of us also come to that place as well, is that we reflect upon our past actions. And we seek to live a life of defeat because we haven't learned how to lay past at the feet of our Lord Jesus Christ and leave it with him. He knows about it. We can come to him, we can seek his forgiveness for it, and then we walk forward in victory over that and to continually live in victory over the past guilt that many of us have. And then he also had to come to that place. He had to forget past glory as well. Paul was a great Christian, a great missionary, the greatest church planter. But Paul didn't sit around and rest on his laurels. It would have been tempting to sit back and reminisce of the accomplishments that God had done through him and forget to be redeeming the present opportunities. He could reflect and say, wow, God really blessed in Ephesus. God really blessed in Corinth. God really blessed in the island of Crete and all the other places that he had been. And it was possible in the midst of all that to reflect upon the blessings of God. Yes, we are thankful that how God's hand was in his and over his ministry. But yet if he would have been sitting there reminiscing about that, he would have failed to move forward in the opportunities that God yet had for him. There is not a time short of glorification when we can sit back and rest in our past glory. And often as we get up in years, we can look back and we reminisce about all that God has blessed us with. But that does not give us an excuse to stop moving forward and seeking to buy up and redeem more opportunities. Thirdly, he had to forget his past grief. He suffered as few men suffered. 2 Corinthians 6 gives us an insight, gives us a window into some of the sufferings that he went through. It would have been tempting to look for a safe ministry location with people who loved his ministry. And it would have been easy to say, well, I've suffered enough. I've done enough. Look at so-and-so over there. They haven't suffered like I've suffered. So maybe it's time for me to find a nice little safe harbor somewhere where I can enjoy. And as much as that was probably a temptation to Paul, he's yet moved forward in saying that was what God had allowed to come into his life, that God had allowed him to experience, and he was going to continue to move forward. Then fourthly, he had to forget past grudges. Many people did Paul wrong. Paul was abused, mistreated, cheated, and overlooked. But Paul refused to feed a fever and nurse a grudge. Paul said, I take my past guilt, I take my past glory, I take my past grief, I take my past grudges, and I forget those things which are behind so that he might maximize the present opportunities. And many of us can reflect upon those who have done us wrong, the grudges that we could have for how some people mistreated us, and especially within the family of God. We've all experienced them. Even in my family, we've gone through periods like that as well. We have to move on. We have to move past. And that my dad was in business with another Christian gentleman. And it was not a good partnership. And so my dad sought to pull out. And the one side of the story is that he took advantage of my dad in pulling out. He had to take a huge loss in that. And it would be really easy to begrudge that other family. And it was just interesting that going back, I believe, for our second term, the person that drove us to the airport was this gentleman that was in partnerships with my dad. I had nothing against him, and all wished him the best and saw that God was continuing to lead in his life. But we can live in grudges, and maybe this morning you have grudge against somebody else. And living in that grudge will defeat you from taking up the present opportunities that God desires you to have. And so this morning, my encouragement and challenge to you, would you deal with that? Would you first of all go before the Lord and seek his forgiveness and then seek to make that grudge right if you are walking that way? And then Paul had to not worry about tomorrow as well. One thing that can take the joy out of today is yesterday. As you carry along the load from yesterday, tomorrow can take the joy out of today as well. Matthew 6 verse 34 says, "So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." And so here, Jesus is seeking to communicate to his disciples. He says, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. And then he shares this, each day has enough trouble of its own. We have been blessed with difficulties. God gives us enough difficulties to cause us to come to him. And as much as we like to be on easy street, God allows difficulties in our lives, whereby he might be able to display his grace in the midst of those difficulties, but also that we might be driven into his arms in seeking his help as well. God gives us enough grace to meet those difficulties each day. Worry doesn't take the sorrow out of tomorrow. It takes the strength out of today. So worry pulls tomorrow's clouds over today's sunshine, and time is a provided opportunity, and time is a present opportunity. And so now if the students are in high school, you're going into exam writing days. And it would be really easy to worry about those exams coming up. And then you'd be defeated in studying today. And hopefully you were studying even before today. But in the opportunities you have, you'll be defeated if all of a sudden you're going to let the worry about tomorrow's exam defeat you at the present time. Time is a precious opportunity. What do you do when you redeem something? You pay for it. There is something you must give in exchange if you would live up to the opportunities that God has given to you. Now, we're not talking about finances per se, but in redeeming the time, you're going to have to give something. You're going to have to buy up that opportunity. It might take an expense of time on your part. To waste time is to waste life, because time is the stuff that life is made of. A person who is killing time is not killing time, he is killing himself. He is committing suicide by degrees. Do we ever stop to look at time that way? That, well, oh man, what are you doing? I'm just killing time. Well, you're killing yourself, basically, and part of your life by doing that. When I give you my time, when you give me your time, you're giving me a piece of yourself. In heaven, time makes no difference. We're going to step into eternity, step outside of time. But in the meantime, God has given us time. And so when we give time to one another, we need to learn how to appreciate one another for the time that we give and the opportunities of our time that we give. Time is precious, thus we need to redeem the time. Wisdom is the art of spending time wisely, or the art of living is spending time wisely. We have come to understand that time is very important, and thus the need to steward it wisely. But how do we redeem the time? And so we can look at the scriptures and we can say, yes, the teachings of scripture is buying up opportunities. But what does that look like in my daily life? How do I do that? in my life. It's like I all of a sudden go into the store of God, and all of a sudden, okay, God, I got 20 bucks here, give me this much opportunity. No, we're talking about something different. We can look at it from the prayer principle. Important that we let prayer be the key that unlocks the door of the morning, that we begin our day with prayer. Poet said, lean your arms upon the window sill of heaven and gaze at the face of God. Spend enough time every day in the morning to get God's will for your life. And so as we begin our day, say, God, would you oversee the opportunities? Would you oversee what comes into my life today? And that Heavenly Father, if that's you give opportunities, may I seek to take them up. May I not seek to just let them pass. But God, give me opportunities and see what God's hand does in presenting those opportunities that you might be able to speak into, speak over, and speak through those incidents. Psalm 90, verse 12 says, so teach us to number our days that we may present to you a heart of wisdom. And so we're numbering our days. God, give me opportunities in the time that you have for me. Opportunities come from the hand of God, and any results as we redeem those opportunities will be a result of his empowering grace. And so it's almost like I can get anxious over this fact, but yet I can let it rest in God's hands. God, my life belongs to you. My day belongs to you. So let me walk in such a way that I might be able to take the opportunities that you bring across my path. And that God, would you allow me to share what needs to be shared into those opportunities as you so give them. He can give us the wisdom to use our time redemptively. A conversation with a coworker or a teller can open up an opportunity to building a relationship or communicating grace to a life situation they are walking through. Each of us goes through different and buying experiences, and we go before tellers. Yes, it's a short little conversation, might be a sentence, but can we speak if the opportunity presents itself to truth in that even short minute? Yes, you're not taking that opportunity very far, but you could be just one person that that person meets that day, that God allows you to be used towards that redemptive opportunity. Priority principles as well. After God speaks to you, it's obvious that you've got some priorities. Most of the choices that I must make are not choices between good and bad. They are choices between good and best. Charles Hummel wrote in his book, The Tyranny of the Urgent, we're constantly having a battle between the important and the urgent. And in each of our lives, we have choices that we make have to make every day. What am I going to do with these opportunities as God brings them? Do I take this opportunity or do I take this opportunity? And allowing God to direct in that. And often it's the choice between what is important and what is urgent. And what do I mean by that? Your devotions or the toilet overflowing as you're doing your devotions. What is important? What is urgent? Well, in that instance, the urgent is to take care of the potential mess over there. And so in our days, we're always dealing with what is important or what is urgent. Your greatest danger is letting the urgent things crowd out the important things as well. Yes, we have urgent things that come into our lives that we have to be dealt with. It's part of living and it's part of life that we have to take care of. We will need the wisdom from God to classify the priority or of the opportunities that we face. And so we can seek him in those opportunities. And then thirdly, the promptness principle speaks to the sin of procrastination. James 4:17 says, therefore, to one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin. Sin is not merely doing wrong, it is failing to do what you ought to do. And so procrastination and disobedience are different shades of the same sin. Time management. Do we involve time management into this? We got to plan your days thoughtfully using tools like calendars or your iPhone or your phone, or whatever means that God has for you to use. To make to-do lists, and you will not miss an opportunity just to speak or to an opportunity that comes up. And so I'm speaking to myself here. I missed an opportunity this last November to speak at a location because I totally forgot that it was on my radar to my to-do list. And all of a sudden I got the call, were you coming? Oh, sorry. And if I would have done some time management, if I would have planned myself out. And so now they've made another opportunity, and now I've written it on my whiteboard. And I think I've even put it, maybe I haven't put it on my calendar yet, but at least it's on my whiteboard. So that hopefully every time I turn around, I won't forget of this opportunity that is in front of me. Balance rest and work. There may be a time when the most spiritual thing you can do is to have a nap in order to be renewed in your efforts. And so there is a season for having naps, especially when you're in the decade of the 60s, the decade of the 70s, then a nap makes a lot of good sense. And that, oh, thanks. Thank you. But, and even at my stage, yes, naps are important to me as well. And time is a passing opportunity. Life is too short for us to do everything we want to do, but it is long enough for us to do everything that God wants us to do. Our struggle daily is living by life's demands instead of God's priorities. Life has a way of getting swallowing us up. We are on the brink of being consumed by trying to make sure we have enough to keep a roof over our head and food on our table. We feel blessed if we have a little extra and can afford to take a holiday. Who has time for opportunities, let alone seeking God to buy them up? And maybe that's what you're experiencing in your life as you seek to just maintain the status quo, as you make sure that your kids have what they need when you get home. And maybe you're experiencing that. And so this morning, when you say buy up opportunities, you're saying, where am I going to get those opportunities from? Life is busy. And yes, I don't deny that fact. Life is busy. None of us is doing life in a vacuum. We do life in a community of others. Those others are the opportunities that God wants us to redeem. It may begin by learning to put a smile on our faces as we work and allowing our speech to be flavored with grace. And some of us are better at this than others, in that I've been often accused of having my mom's side of the family look, and I have a sour look, and I need to practice learning how to smile more as well. And each of us can learn how to smile and put a cheerful disposition on us that people will find us worthy of talking to. And then and allowing our speech to be seasoned with grace as well. It may then move to responding to something you hear and showing that you care. So far, you have not taken up much of your time that you would not normally expend. You are well on the road to redeeming an opportunity. Then, when they know that you care, you will have opportunity to speak to the concerned with the life-giving truths of God's word. And then when we add them to our prayer time, then we can believe God for an open door to demonstrate his grace. And so in the opportunities that we have, in the busyness that we have, we're going to meet, we're going to rub shoulders with other individuals, because that is this part of doing life that all of us have to walk in. And so in those opportunities, can we remember, God, would you give me a cheerful disposition that I might be able to at least have a smile on my face, that I might be able to speak something towards that person that encourages them, strengthens them, whatever. And then God begins to open doors of opportunity for us. May the prayer of our hearts be that we would seek God for opportunities and that those opportunities would bear fruit. And so that's my encouragement in this whole redeeming, stewarding the time, that we would find opportunities, that we would buy up opportunities, that we would go before the Lord, God, you're going to give me, I'm going to meet somebody today. May in that situation, may I have the right words to say. May you give me opportunity to speak into that life. And it's just interesting when you're talking, especially with coworkers, that we can remember something that they're going through and then we can ask them about that. It shows that you care for that individual. When all of a sudden, when you a previous conversation that you've had, you know that they're experiencing this or that, and then as God gives you opportunity, you can speak to that situation. So those are just some ways that we can practice this stewardship of our time that God asks of us. Maybe just close our time in a word of prayer. Dear Father, thank you for this time that you have given to us. And that Heavenly Father, may we remember that the people that you bring across our path are there under divine appointment. And that Heavenly Father, that we might be able to be people who might seek to be a blessing, might seek to be an encouragement, and that we might be able to redeem those opportunities that you desire, that you give to us. So as we leave here this morning, may we be seen as people that are joyful in our dispositions and cheerful and grace-giving in our words. For we pray in your name. Amen. God bless, and we'll look forward to hearing the opportunities that God gives.